Good morning. You know, before I start, Jack, there you are. I see you. I didn't realize this, but when Jack assigned me to do Screwtape letters number 5 and 6, that it became very apparent to me as I started reading these things that God had ordained that Jack would assign those two letters to me. They really hit home. The first letter in chapter 5 deals with war. And in the Screwtape letter, he talks about to Wormwood, he says, look, don't get too excited about people that are in war. You know, yeah, it causes anxiety, it causes fear, they're afraid they might die, and things on that line. But at the same time, he says, it could cause them to turn to God, and that's what you don't want to happen. You need to keep them away from that. Let me see if I can work these things right. I'm going the wrong way. And then these were the examples. It's not showing up here on the slides. Oh, there it is. I got to push the button to bring each one up. Sleepless nights. I can remember when I was on the Frankie Evans when we were over in the South China Sea during the Vietnamese War. The sleepless nights were not so much over the fact that I didn't feel like I'd get a good night's sleep. It's just that you were 1 in 3 and you were constantly trying to get a nap sometime because you were just go, go, go. You were focused on everything but. And so when it came time for you to sleep, you just didn't get that opportunity. Sometimes I'd lie there not being able to sleep. And there's anguish and bewilderment of the human soul. Screwtape didn't have Wormwood do that to me. That was one of the ones that didn't happen, but I can see that a lot of you are in the military out there. You've been over in Afghanistan. You've served in various places. Maybe that applies in your life. The next one is despair and horror. I'll share a little story with you. It sort of falls into this area. How many Marines are in here, by the way? Just raise your hand. Okay. You guys wouldn't do what I'm about to share. When I was on the Evans, I was sitting in the director, and which controls the guns, and had big eyes. So I was looking over on the beach. We were about 2 miles off the coast. I was looking over on the beach, and lo and behold, out of the woods in the back come these young ladies, and they're walking toward the beach. And I look up further up about maybe 500, 600 yards up the beach. There's a bunch of Marines out there, and they got their weapons in the sand, and they're going into the water. And these women come out. I'm looking at them, and all of a sudden, the women get into their birthday suits, and they're waving at the Marines. And the Marines, they start walking down the beach. Guess what they didn't take with them? Their weapons. Not a very smart Marine. And they're coming down the beach, and I focus the big eyes back on the beautiful maidens that were on the beach, and in the background, in the woods, I could see movement. There were people back there wearing black outfits, and they were the VC, the Viet Cong. And I called down to the bridge. I said, Captain, get in the big eyes. Look in the woods and back of the women. And he says, load 2 rounds, able, common. And fire, batteries released. I told the mount, the gun mount, load 2 rounds. They loaded 2 rounds. I had the range and everything. I lobbed about 50 feet, maybe 100 feet past, you know, the edge of the woods. When those 2 rounds hit, oh, my goodness, the VC came running out. Must have been 20 to 30 of them. They're running up the beach. The Marines at this point heard the rounds hit, and they stopped. I glanced over at them, and they're standing there, and when the VC come out, they're starting to fire their weapons, running up the beach after them. And the Marines, they turn, they're running back to get them. Captain hollers up, 2 rounds VT frag. Told the mount, put 2 rounds of VT frag. So you know what VT frag is? It's a weapon that is designed to kill people. and it doesn't hit the ground. It detonates about 20 to 30 feet above them, and all the shrapnel just goes flying out. So I fired the two rounds right over the top of these guys going up the beach. And the sand goes flying up into the air, and I can't see anything. And then when all the sand suddenly settles, they're just black pajamas all over the beach. Not a single one's moving. And I think of those guys, and I think about the horror of war and how one of the things that Wormwood talks about, or that Screwtape says, is, you know, you want to create an anger for your enemy. And I had that. I despised the VC for some of the tactics that they used. You know, I had other buddies that shared things that they used to do. And they were on the bottom of my list of people that I wanted to know. And one of the things that war can do, it can undermine your faith. You can be so involved in what you're doing that you forget about who's really in control. And your virtues and your values, they're on the back burner. They're not from front and center. Yeah, I would say my prayers at night, but was I in my Bible every day? No. And you look at what Wormwood tries to do, he's told by Screwtape, hey, you want to cause fear, you want to cause suffering. Well, think of the people in war, how many people suffer. Not just people in war. I want you to think about this. Every single one in this room, at some point in your life, you have suffering. And one of the questions that I've asked you, the very first question I ask is, why do Christians suffer? But that's a lead-in. I get ahead of myself. Hope for cruelty and unchastity. That's one of the big things. You remember? You know, when you're on a ship and there aren't any women around, chastity's not really an issue. It's when you go over on the beach. Who do you go over on the beach with? Do you run over on the beach with your buddies? When I was younger, yeah, I did that. I ran over the beach with my buddies. But later on, when God opened my eyes, I made it a point to find another believer. So when we went over on the beach, we held each other accountable. And that's what you're supposed to do. Those of you who are on active duty now, you get sent into a war zone. There probably aren't women around you have to worry about because it's a war zone. But it's something you need to keep in your mind. And the biggest thing is, in a war, nobody knows if they're going to die or not. It's the fear of death. But you know, when you're on a ship and you're 2 miles off the coast, you really don't worry about death. That's, you know, do I have a chance of dying out here? Nah, no way. I'm perfectly safe out here. So that was the theme behind Screwtape letter number 5, was the war. And the things that the devil and his minions try to do to turn us away from God. Screwtape letter number 6 was a little different. He wanted Wormwood to focus. He says, you really need to get people to focus. And their efforts should be on things that are not about God. You don't want them to focus about what's going to happen to them because that may cause them to turn to God. You want them to get a focus on other things. And he says, you need to increase their hatred for the war that they're involved in. And you know, back in those days, I think if you look back, all the protesters that hated the war and that was going on in Vietnam, and I mean, there were millions of people, even in the United States, that hated the war, all the protests that took place. I can remember them. The slide won't change. Can I get a little help up there? There you go. Thank you. So Screwtape wants Wormwood to focus on suspense and anxiety. He wants that to be created in us. And you know, it's kind of interesting when you talk about anxiety. All of us, one of the fruits of the Spirit is joy. What's the one thing that attacks joy? Anxiety. But what causes the anxiety? Fear. Fear is what causes anxiety. And what's the one thing Jesus said more than any other thing in the Bible when he was talking? Fear not. And if your joy is going to be complete, that has to be put aside. And he also said, get them to focus on the enemy. And one of the last things they put in here, and I went too fast. One of the things that I wanted to share with you was, he talked about concentric circles. And he said, get them to focus on this. He says, in the inner circle is man's will. And the next circle out is his intellect. And the circle beyond that is fantasy. And he says, and what you really need to do is you need to drive people to focus on things in fantasy. Push everything away from the will. Push everything away from their thinking to put it in a land of fantasy. Because once you get them there, they don't have any hope. Everything's a fairy tale. They don't understand. They're confused. He says, that's what we're trying to do. Now, you know, what happens when one of God's children go astray? And Scott Corrigan, he shares this verse with me a lot. And I appreciate it because it means a lot. It's Jeremiah 29, where God says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you, and you will seek me and find me. When you walk and seek with all your heart. I wasn't that guy. I wasn't seeking God with all my heart. What was I? Well, let's go back to Matthew 18 and Luke 15, where Jesus says, the lost sheep, guilty. I was the lost sheep at that point. And what does Jesus say about the lost sheep? He says, there's the shepherd. He has 100 sheep, and he loses one of them. What does he do? He leaves the 99, and he goes after the one. And he finds him. And he brings him back. How did God do that in my life? I'm on a ship. Nothing devastating going on. And lo and behold, on June the 3rd, 1969, about 3:15 in the morning, that's what happened. That's the Frankie Evans, collided with HMS Melbourne. Cut the ship right in half, and I shouldn't be here talking to you. And why do I say that? The bow sank in less than 2 minutes, and I lived in the bow of the ship. But let me take you back 3 days. 3 days before this happened, we were in port at Subic Bay getting supplies. 1 hour before the ship is to get underway, orders come in for a guy to go to department head school up in Newport, Rhode Island. Have you ever seen ship's office get orders out in an hour? Never happens. But today, it did. And this guy got off the ship. And there's an empty rack now in the after part of the ship. But that rack doesn't have my name on it. There's a guy's name who I will never forget as long as I live. His name's John Stever. John was the senior ensign. He was offered the opportunity to go live in the after part of the ship. John and I were good friends. He was the electrical officer. I was the damage control assistant. And he and I both looked forward to eventually being able to go into the after part of the ship. And so they asked him, said, John, got an empty bunk back here. You're the senior ensign. It's yours if you want it. He turned it down. Why'd he do that? I was the next guy. I accepted it. I went back aft. 3 days later, the ship gets cut in half. 74 men go down with the ship. Melbourne pulls alongside the stern of our ship, and they drop cargo nets I climb the cargo net, and I'm sitting up on the flight deck of the Melbourne by myself. And I start recalling the things that happened. The reason I started recalling them was God was talking to me. He was showing me how he intervened in my life. I remembered the orders that came in. If they didn't come in and they didn't get them off, I'm not here. John Stever, if he doesn't turn down the offer to go back aft, I'm not here. If I don't accept the offer to go back aft, I'm not here. And I look at these two, Matthew 18 and Luke 15, as the lost sheep. I was one of the lost sheep. And God just pulled me in. One thing, you guys, if you walk out of this room, you don't remember anything else, remember this. God is sovereign. Satan is not. His demons can't do a thing to you unless God allows it. How do I know that? You just need to look at the book of Job. Read Job. Tell you all about that. And the important thing is, I realized at that moment, God spared my life. For reasons I don't understand, other than I know I'm one of his sheep. And you who believe in Christ are one of his sheep. And you're going to have things in your life that'll happen that you're going to say, Lord, I don't understand why this happened. You know, I think about Scotty Davis's dad just dying. We all know we're going to die. That doesn't make it any less painful when it happens. And we suffer for that. We grieve over it. But as a believer, you will know that your friends that you know, the believers in Christ, you'll see them again. I want to share one last thing. You know, when the ship got cut in half, we didn't have cell phones where I could pick my cell phone up and, hey, Mom, I'm okay. Dad, I'm okay. I'll see you in about a month. They're going to have a court martial out here on the CO and everything. We have to be here for a while, and then I'll be home. No. It took 3 days before my parents knew that I was alive. My mom's cousin worked for the Navy Department, and 3 days later, she called my mom on the phone and said, Eva, I just saw the survivors list, and George's name is on it. But here's the amazing part of this whole thing. The ship was cut in half, and when my parents woke up the next morning, it's on the TV, it's on the news. And the accident happened late the night before, back here. And our pastor of our church showed up at the door. Now, you would think that someone who may be dead, that the reason the pastor's there is to comfort the parents and give them assurance. That's not what our pastor did. The pastor said, Eva, I had a dream last night. I can't explain it. The only thing I can tell you is George is alive. He says, he was choked up. He just couldn't talk. He just said, Eva, I'm telling you, George is alive, and I'm here to let you know that. Who sent him to do that? I think we all know who did that. So, in closing, I just want to have you look at the questions that I've got. I'll show you a couple other pictures of the ship. There's the bow of the Melbourne. You can see a big gash right out of the front of it. And the front of the bow of the ship, of the aircraft carrier. Yeah, they don't show it in this picture, but one of the things they found on the bow of the aircraft carrier was a seaman, Rodriguez. He was a signalman. He was impaled on one of the spikes, poles, through his leg. He survived, but they found him. I don't know how long he was there, but they eventually found him, saved his life. There's, whoop, went too far. How'd the two-minute drill get up there? There's the middle of the ship, cut completely in half. I was going to bring a picture of that. My good friend, Ted Nance, I forgot to bring it. 2 years ago, he asked me to go up to the Naval Academy with him to share this testimony. And I got to speak to a bunch of officers. They were all retired guys. And they gave me this picture. It originally wasn't intended for me. It was for some other guy. But they felt that I was more deserving to have it. And this guy voluntarily gave it to me, and I have it at home. But I want to get to the last part, questions. And I talked about suffering. I'm not going to go through all of them, but I want you to think about the suffering one, because all of us suffer in our lives. And if you don't think you're suffering, you're lying to yourself, because we all suffer. I'll just share some good news with you. I know everybody that knows me knows my wife. She has pulmonary fibrosis, which is a terminal illness. Not all that long ago, she went into the hospital. A few weeks ago, again, she had another breathing attack. She only weighs 77 pounds. Not much to her. Here's the amazing part. She's gaining weight. When she checked out, she weighed 81. She hasn't had an appetite for over 2 years. She's got an appetite, and she's eating. And I mean, she's eating. And I've told her, I've said, Leslie, I don't know if you realize it, you're gaining weight. And I said, I just want to encourage you. That's a blessing from God, because people with pulmonary fibrosis, they live 3 to 5 years, and that's it. Leslie's going on 12 years.
Amen.
Yeah. Her doctors, just a side note, her doctors will say, we don't understand. And they opened the door for me. I said, I'll tell you what it is. It's called prayer. And, you know, like I said, all of us are going to leave this world someday. But the good news is, I'll see her again. And hopefully, I'll see all you guys again. Thank you, brothers. Let me close this out in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for Screwtape Letter 5 and 6. You spoke to my heart. You revealed to me how I was a lost sheep. And yet, I really wasn't lost. Because, as you say in John 17, that those of us that are in your hands, and that's all of your children, you never lose your grip. You never lose one. And Jesus says, and he never loses one. It doesn't get any better than that, Father. I thank you for all the things that you've done. I pray that you would bless the men in this church, that you would watch over them, keep them safe, and also for our pastor. Lord, there's not a person in this church that Satan wants to attack more than the pastor. We see so many pastors that were leaders, great men of God, only to stumble and fall. May that never happen here. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.